I'm really glad you're here. Maybe you only come on Christmas or Easter. I'm really glad you're here. Maybe you come every week. I'm really glad you're here. Maybe you're only here because grandma said you gotta come. I'm really glad you're here. And I'm glad you're here because the world around us is a pretty hopeless place these days. Have you noticed that? And we see that hopelessness. We see it in the faces of people all around us. Maybe we see it in a child that we know that's living in a broken or dysfunctional home, and we just can see that brokenness. We can see that hopelessness in their eyes. We see that hopelessness in the eyes of that single mom who's just trying to get it all together, and she's depressed, and she's feeling horrible about not living up to her own expectations. It's hopeless. We see that hopelessness maybe in the guy who spent his whole life building a career and lost his family and is now all alone. And frankly, we see that hopelessness every time we look in the mirror and into our own hearts. And our world is quick to offer us all kinds of things that it says will bring us hope. Our world tells us you can find that lasting hope in your career. You can find that lasting hope if you just have the right partner in life. You can find that lasting hope if you just look more and more inside of yourself. You can find that lasting hope if you just try harder and get it all together on your own. And we try all those routes, and I'm guilty of it too. And at the end of the day, they just leave us hopeless. And so the reason I'm so glad you're here today to listen to my voice changing like I'm a 13-year-old boy is because this is the most hope-filled day the world has ever seen, and I desire for you to receive that gift in incredible ways today. I want you to be surprised by hope. Everything about that first Easter, it was all surprises. It was a surprise that the women played such a prominent role in the accounts, all four of the gospel accounts. And it was surprising because a woman's testimony in that time, it had no legal binding or standing. And so if Matthew was going to make this story up, he would definitely not have sent women to be the primary testifiers and witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. So that's a surprise. Maybe not much as a surprise because of how dim-witted the disciples were for most of Jesus' ministry, even though he told them several times, I'm going to die and then I'm going to rise again. But nobody expected Jesus to rise again. The women are bringing spices to anoint the body of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus are hidden behind locked doors. They're not thinking, oh, I wonder if he rose. We should go and check. Not even on their mind at all. Surprise earthquake. And this is kind of fun. Matthew says the stone rolled away and the angel was sitting on the stone. Like, how cool is that? I think the angel had a cup of coffee with them, just kind of hanging out, waiting for anybody to show up. And finally, the women show up and the angel says, come and look at the place where Jesus laid. And surprise, he's not there anymore. But then as they leave to go back and tell the disciples, surprise, Jesus is there again. And he says, do not be afraid. And of course, at the heart of all of it is this truth that Jesus is alive. The angel says it this way, I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body, say it with me, was lying. Interesting. Some of you read those words and you're like, that's the whole reason I'm here today. Like, amen and hallelujah and praise be to Jesus. Others of you, maybe for the first time, the Holy Spirit is kind of putting on your heart and you're like, what does that mean that Jesus was dead and is now alive? It's a little bit confusing. It's a little bit hard to figure out exactly what that means. Others of you are like, meh to the whole thing, right? Like, come on, dead people don't rise. It's a cute story. It gives us a reason to get all dressed up, eat some eggs and egg bake and all that stuff. But come on, he didn't really rise from the dead. Well, in most churches today, I'm going to argue that you would hear one of two sermons. You're not going to hear that sermon here. The first sermon is this whole idea about let's get the heck out of here. And here's what I mean about this sermon. This sermon, the pastor is passionate like I am that Jesus physically rose from the dead. I believe that. It wasn't some spiritual rising, but Jesus physically rose from the dead. And this pastor's passionate about it, but then it gets to the part of the so what? Like, why does it matter for my life right now? And the answer is, well, one day we get to go off to be in heaven. Did you know, and this is going to surprise you, as Western-minded Christian people, that the Bible talks very little about going off to heaven when we die, but it talks a whole lot about how Jesus is coming back to this earth to make his new creation perfect and renewed and restored. And in that new creation, he invites all those who follow him, and he says, your bodies are going to be restored just like the resurrected body of Jesus. And you are going to live in this restored and renewed real place for all eternity, like the Garden of Eden was meant to be for us to live. But in Western Christianity, it's all been hijacked. And so heaven is the place in the clouds, right? And you're playing your harp on the clouds and you're singing a song for all eternity. If that's what heaven is, I'm out. Not very exciting, is it? Not very hopeful. And where's the hope for us in this life if it's only about getting the heck out of here? The other sermon, which is worse than the first because there's nothing true about it, is the resurrection didn't really happen. And because it didn't happen and dead people don't rise, we should make something spiritual out of the resurrection. Let's be very spiritual people. We're spiritual and not religious. I love that phrase. Can't you tell? Let's just be really spiritual about this and let's do some things because there was this guy around named Jesus and he did some good stuff along the way because dead people don't rise. And this has been going on since the very beginning. We read about it. Let's pay off the guards to say that Jesus' body was stolen. Roman guards didn't lose at anything. Are you kidding me? These disciples? Oh my gosh, they were a disaster. You think they came up with this master plan to defeat the Roman Empire and steal the body of Jesus? It's crazy. Or you'll hear things like, well, the women and the disciples, they just hallucinated when they saw Jesus. Well, okay, that works for maybe an hour, but not for 2,000 years. Or Jesus was just drugged. He didn't really die. The Romans were pretty adept at killing people. We can look back at history. And so if the resurrection didn't happen, friends, why are you here? Go do the Easter egg hunt. Eat some egg bake, but you didn't need to get up early to come here today. And so I want to offer you something different today, something that I believe is far better because it is actually filled with hope for today and hope for eternity, and we all need both. My good friend, I say that loosely because I love to read him. He doesn't know who I am. He has no idea who I am. N.T. Wright, he says this, Easter was when hope in person surprise the whole world by coming forward from the future into the present. Some of y'all are like, what the heck does that even mean? What it means is that at Easter, Jesus gives us a picture of what will be when he comes a second time to make all things new. When he raises our bodies to be like his resurrected body, to live in his new creation. Where there is no more tears, there is no more dying, there is no more sin, there is no more brokenness, there is no more losing your voice, but it's perfect. And on Easter, we start to get a taste of what that will be. Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection, and he brings that all into the present for us right now. Just a picture, a sliver of when the full rebirth and redemption of the world will happen. And that makes such an impact on our lives, even right now. And it actually gives us real hope to live differently as we wait for Jesus to come again. I love this evangelist, Watchman Nee, who's an evangelist in China. And he spent many, many years in prison and was persecuted over and over again for his faith. But he says this, our old history ends with the cross, but our new history begins with the resurrection. Like we've been given salvation right now, Paul says. Like we have it right now, and we spend our life growing into that salvation, maturing, looking more and more like Jesus so that others can come into this beautiful life of finding hope in him. And this is where we come in, y'all. And this is why this community matters so much. This is why the church is the hope of the world. So often we get it wrong in the church, and I'm sorry where you've been hurt for that. But we have the hope of Christ, and now we bring that out into a hopeless world. I say it like this. We get to be part of making this world more like it was in the beginning and more like it will be when Jesus comes again. Now, that's something I can get on board with. That sounds pretty great, doesn't it? Making it like it was in the Garden of Eden and like it will be when Jesus comes again. Like, we get to be a part of that every day of our lives. And this is what the women and the disciples, that's what they got a hold of. And that's what turned the world upside down. It wasn't because suddenly Christians had all the power and authority and they could tell everybody else what to do, but it's because they were doing the things that nobody else expected. Like going out to this place called Gehenna, the city dump of Jerusalem, where literally Romans would bring their unwanted children and then they would leave them there to die. Roman reproductive rights. That's how they did it back in Rome. And these followers of Jesus would go out there and they would take those children as their own. Children born with defects or children that were the wrong sex that were completely unwanted. And the Romans are like, what are you doing? Those children don't have any value. What can they offer? And they're like, we're followers of Jesus. Everybody has value. We will fight for those kids. These same people that would care for those who were sick when nobody else would. Why do you think just about every hospital in the world is named St. John's, right? Because Christians started them. These same folks who were selling their possessions to care for people that they didn't even like. Imagine that. And people from different places in the world, foreigners and outcasts. And the Romans are like, oh my gosh, you all are so weird. But I'd really love it if my daughter married one of your sons because you are incredible. And that's what being surprised by hope does in our lives. You see, the resurrection is more than just proof that Jesus is alive. It is. It's more than just proof that we can trust the scriptures. It is that. It's more than just about knowing we have salvation when we die. We do. But it's this invitation to bring heaven. To bring heaven to this earth as we wait for Jesus to come again. It's why we pray this prayer every time we're together. Say it with me, the top line. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have you ever thought about that line before? Probably not, right? Because we do it every week. But what's being said there is exactly what N.T. Wright said earlier. It's bringing the future of what will be to our earth right now. Friends, we get to do that. Paul talks about our citizenship is in heaven. And immediately we go to, oh, that's that place that's really far away. But no, it's going to be right here when Jesus returns, and that's why we are eagerly waiting for his return. And as we wait, we can be people who are filled with hope. Right, you all came in here looking pretty today. I was seeing you, and I was like, man, there are some shirts that I want to buy after seeing y'all. My wife makes fun of my closet all the time. But how are you doing on the inside? Right, we all bring that hopelessness with us today. those places where we're hurting. And I get to proclaim to each of you today, maybe you're that kid that's living in the dysfunctional home and you're feeling hopeless, that in Jesus, you can have hope. Maybe you're that mom that's trying to make it, or that person that's crumbling under your own expectations. You are given the gift of hope today. You're that dad that's blown it with your kids again and again and again. You are given the gift of hope. That's what it means to be surprised by the hope of Jesus. And so now we turn from the sin in our life and we repent of it. We don't pretend we have it all together. We don't pretend we haven't gone the way of the world, but we say, Jesus, I'm sorry for that. I repent of that. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to follow you. And I don't have all the answers. And you're going to have doubts and fears and questions. I have them too. But all along the way, Jesus says, just walk with me. And let me fill you with this deep, incredible hope. Right? Our hope is stolen when we think it's only about getting out of here. And our hope is stolen when we don't believe Jesus physically rose from the dead. But when you put it all together and you see the first fruits of our salvation, Jesus at work, how can you not be filled with incredible hope? Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful today. So grateful for each person in here today, even the ones who are here just because grandma said you gotta come. Grateful for the folks who are here every week. Grateful for those that are wrestling and struggling today. We all do that, but we're on a journey of following you. And what a beautiful invitation to do that with people. Broken people, hurt people, loving people, messy people. We get to follow you together, Jesus. So we thank you for the hope that you give to us every day, Jesus. Without it, we have nothing. And so, Holy Spirit, fill each one of us today with that incredible hope that only you can give, and make it really clear it's not from us, it's not from the world, but that it is from you. So, Jesus, today we give you all praise and honor and glory. You are our resurrected King. In your name we pray. Amen.